All right, hour number two. Good to have you with us in the nation's capital and beyond. The DOC is in the house. We're talking about moving forward with Jaden Daniels, how you took Dan Quinn's words yesterday and what you think that means for this Sunday. Doc, it doesn't seem like it's going to be like, I mean, as a matter of fact, Dan Quinn was directly asked, I think by DA, David Aldridge, hey, man, like, can you just get him an extra flak jacket? Can you get him extra padding? And Dan was pretty adamant about that. Like, he was like, no, he's got enough padding already. So this does not seem to be, as I think we all kind of process it, like, if it was broken, or I guess if the cartilage was really damaged in and around the rib area, I would think Dan wouldn't have been as demonstrative about saying, nope, he's not getting any more extra protection or whatever. But you pointed out, you know, like during the break, I mean, obviously there's painkilling medication.
Oh, yeah, they can numb everything.
Right. So the question becomes, I guess, based on what they see in during the week in practice, and I don't know, like, how does that kind of work? Like,
it's two factors.
Do they don't numb players up for practice, do they?
Well, usually? they could. That would be, like, insane.
Right, right.
Because it's either a tear or a break.
Right.
Fracture. All they have to determine, if you have an area of swelling, they want to be able to see it, have it clear. You don't want a tear. A bruise, you can handle it. But you got to give it time.
So if he's out there tomorrow and he's moving around, running around, lightly throwing, even if he's limited, whatever.
As long as it was just a bruise.
Right.
You might do limited. I would test that.
You would presume that's a good sign that it's not broken and or tearing of any cartilage, ribs, or anything like that.
Oh, the whole thing is a good sign. That right now that he's not under medical care as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's walking around as a civilian. But it's still, and I just recently once again watched the action, the somersault, the flip, you could see he was the way his body was contorted. Now just simply let it subside. If the game was Wednesday,
right,
that'd be a problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the game is Sunday. Right.
So, you know, you can. And that's why I say, let everybody take it however you want to digest it. Because some people are just worry warts.
Well, like me.
Yeah.
I'm a constant worry. You know,
that's okay.
I mean, what did I say?
So,
yeah.
Nobody's wrong. But having been through this, I'm telling you, the guy is going to play unless it's not a tear.
Right.
Because he's going to, unless they demand that he don't. But that'll be a game time deal based on what he's shown throughout the week. Or they'll never even let it get to that point.
Yeah.
They'll rule him out.
Right. Yeah, because Dan could rule him out on Friday.
He could rule him out to protect him from himself.
There's no advantage to ruling him out.
Why would you help the Bears?
Right, exactly.
Make them prepare.
Exactly.
Waste their time.
Right.
Yeah.
When they said week two, I was kind of alarmed by that because I thought for sure they were going to say, well, he's day-to-day. We'll see if he can practice later on in the week.
Oh, yeah. Tell him, keep him confused.
You know, but week to week, while it doesn't say... Well, it doesn't suggest that he won't play. It just logically it week to week sounds and is worse than day to day. Now, again, maybe it's a matter of semantics.
And then
I don't know.
It's also the shell game.
Yeah,
you know, it's almost like law enforcement, military people would tell us things that go on in their lives. Mm-hmm. We're like, ooh, wow. But they understand.
Yeah.
To them, it's normal.
Yeah.
In their world.
Yeah, there's got to be a little
and they know,
bit of gamesmanship.
They know how to deal with it. All I'm saying that after several decades in this, I'm telling you right now that every guy that ever has gone through this thinks nothing more than playing in the game. Now, you have to be protected from yourself because they got a future here. This is a good football team, and they want to remain in that. And this game, win, lose, or draw, does not affect their ultimate goals.
Right.
So don't jeopardize it by doing something spur of the moment.
Yeah.
When you don't have to. They made the biggest move this season when they signed Marcus, when most people are going, you did what? That's why they do what they do and we don't. Because it may prove out to be a game or a season-clinching decision. by making sure they had someone very similar to the starter.
Stylistically.
Yeah, so they don't have to all blow
and
up their offense.
And with the experience that he has.
And what he's helped him with.
Yeah, and with the mentorship.
Yeah,
and the
there you go.
But, you know, like, your guy, LW, spewed constantly over the offseason.
Right.
About how bad of a person Marcus Mariota is, how bad of a teammate he is, because he allegedly quit on the Atlanta Falcons.
You said allegedly.
Well, yeah.
The whale did. He's 26.
Right. But every
he doesn't read the whole
every teammate,
column.
Every team.
He only watches
seems
half
to pick
of the shows.
Yeah.
He reads half the columns.
Right.
And then he blows off, you know, like a blowtorch.
Yeah.
That's okay. Because when you hear him, you go, okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Now go follow it up. Follow the story
right.
up.
Well, I think
so even if Marcus made a mistake, he said, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, he was going through some things. Is he not allowed to have an error?
To have a bad day, a bad decision, whatever.
Here's what he's done that the gentleman that you're talking about,
yeah.
Mr. Big Shot,
yeah.
was not a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, that's fair.
Big Shot was not the second pick in a draft.
Yeah. Well, you could be all that and still be an egotistical maniac, as we found out. But the difference is Marcus Mariota is not that.
What he's shown is that he's human.
Yes.
And he's admitted mistakes.
Yeah.
He's not perfect.
That's fair.
And a man who worked with him at another program was willing to stake his reputation on it.
Brian Johnson, yeah.
Brian, bingo. While people were going, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'll vouch on him on a new staff in a new city. So sooner or later, how about giving the GM some credit who could have killed all of this? Okay, the man you trust in, Peter said, yeah, you're on. We agree.
Right.
All the people over there with championship pedigree go thumbs up.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You've got some young, budding, self-proclaimed superstar who said the guy was garbage.
Mm.
Okay.
All right, let's go to our guy Zen Travels. Right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Zen, how are you, pal?
I'm great, Chris. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for hanging in there. Thanks for getting
in.
Oh, hey, I'm just happy to have you and Doc on the air and not you and the youngest in charge of
Be careful now. Yeah, you don't get Chris pissed off.
I was going to say, that's coming tomorrow unless Doc saves me.
Oh, no. What are you talking about?
Honestly, like, I look forward to when it's both of you on the air. And, you know, I have respect for both of you, especially
appreciate
Doc, you know. I mean, the one thing I wanted to touch on real fast after that last caller was that guy, I don't know what he's watching, but B-Rob is a beast out there. It's the closest thing I've seen to, you know, Riggo and the Diesel, you know, in a long time here. The big, you know, he's not watching how B-Rob is always getting those extra 3 yards. You know, he takes a hit, and then he gets those that twist and extra 3 yards. And B-Rob is what separates us from being second and short to second and medium or long, you know, if you really look closely.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, I love Jaden. He's our future. But Marcus shows that, you know, this team brought in a lot of players that have a chip on their shoulder to prove something, you know, and it's showing. That, you know, they're not coming in with egos to prove something. They're coming in like, this is my second chance to make my mark. And the team plays like that. Marcus is that kind of guy to me. Going back to what you were just saying, like what we did to the ownership did to LeVar Arrington, he was a great player, one of the best. When he made the whole thing to New York, play, you know, they like to try to like talk bad about players on their way out. And I think they did that to Marcus. I think Marcus is a great backup. I think if he has B-Rob and our running back crew in there, then we're dangerous because McNichols is a great, you know, balance between the two. You need B-Rob for those up the middle plays. We don't have anyone running up the middle like B-Rob. But, back to the point of the topic of Jaden Daniels. I have my bachelor's in science in kinesiology, anatomy, physiology. Rarely do you see a rib injury go out and then come back the next week. A lot of times you don't see him come back the next week. I think the big thing is how well is Jaden Daniels going to be able to play and throw the ball. If he can't, you know, if he's showing that his throwing is off, you know, he's fine medically. The inflammation's not bad. There's no break, no fracture. If he can't throw, especially the deep ball, they're going to put Marcus in. Maybe they'll put Jaden in for a series or two if he's healthy enough. But I think it's going to be a game-time decision, and that's a lot of it goes back to we don't want the Bears to know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want them to have any advantage and to make any – we want them to be like to the last minute be like, okay, because I don't care about sports betting. I want to win. I want to beat the Eagles. I want to win our division, and I want to get into the playoff, and maybe we'll get to Darius Smith. And I'm going to stop being long-winded. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, good stuff,
good to hear from you, Mr. Zinn. Appreciate you. Always good back and forth with you on the gram, so I appreciate you and thank you for the call. We'll let you run on that. It's interesting, Doc, because I think the area that I heard, and again, maybe I misheard it, Dan talk about yesterday, DQ talk about when he was talking about torque and like I forgot the other word that he used, twisting or rotation or something like that. I always talk about how impressed I am with Jaden Daniels rolling to his right, whether it's on a hard roll or whether it's on a soft kind of drifting roll, if you will, and being able to flip his body, flip his hips, keep his mechanics in gear, keep his eyes up, and then throw a seed, which we've seen him do time and time and time again over the last month. Didn't see it as much in weeks 1 and 2 as we started seeing it week 3 Monday Night Football. But since then, it has been a regular part of what he's done really well. And I wonder if that's the type of throw that Dan Quinn was talking about yesterday. Like, if he can't do that in practice, if he can't have that rotational torque that we need him to have to do what, like earlier in the show, you said, if he can't run read option, if he can't run quarterback power, then he shouldn't be playing. Well, I will say this. You can kind of scheme around that stuff. You can devise some things around that. If he can't roll to his right and flip his hips and torque and rotate and throw with authority, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I think they're going to be looking for.
That's a good point.
I'm not a doctor and I'm not a coach. I'm just trying to use what Dan Quinn said and trying to think, I think, the way they think. All right, 301-230-0980. Let's get to... let's go to Mo here next up on the Team 980. What up, Mo? How are you?
Mo Wilson, Doc. Hey, Chris, I tell you, you guys are on point, man. You guys are on point. Jaden Daniels, he may need to sit out because we need to value what we got. And as they said earlier, that the games that we're playing, you know, he may can be able to sit out on this game and come back next week more healthier, you know, I guess a better situation. We don't need him in a desperate situation. Like now, it's not a desperate situation. So let's try to save Mario. Oh, Mario is not a bad quarterback. He's not bad at all. But I'm just saying is that we need Jaden Daniels in the game. We need to be Brian Mitchell, not Brian Mitchell, but the guy, Brian Robinson, in there running the ball. And I think we got a winner this year, Doc. And it's good to hear from you, Doc, because, you know, we go back in the day. I know that the injury that Jaden got, though, he does need some time. Now, time, you know, men's a breaking heart, men's a broken bone, but I'm saying is that we need to value this kid that we got. You guys hang in there, man. It's good to hear from y'all. Y'all will hear more from me. Y'all know that. And, Doc, you know that.
Thank you, Mo. Appreciate you. Good to hear from you as well. Yeah, I think the other part here, Doc, too, again, not to just keep droning on about different things, but it's just as it hits my brain, they understand the long-term investment they have in this guy as not only a football player, but as a human being.
Yep.
And they understand that if he looks like he's wincing or in pain or discomfort tomorrow, Thursday, whenever he practices, assuming that he practices at all, that they're not going to be like, oh, we've got to have him because Tony Romo and Jim Nantz are going to be upset because the idiots in gambling are going to be upset. Like, they don't care about any of that stuff.
None of that.
Right? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Lou. What up, Lou?
What's going on, Rooster? So, DOT?
What's shaking, Lou?
What's happening, boss? Hey, man, if it was up to me, I mean, I know it ain't up to me, but I'm just speaking, but I tell them just sit down, man. It's just another Sunday. It's just another game. It's not even a division. So it's just another game. It just happened to be two rookies. So for me, I look at it in the long term and tell them, you know, I want them to be 100%, 1,000%, and then, you know, go from there. But there's no need to be listening to, you know, this nonsense. If he's not, it's a rib injury. Look at the other defensive end. He's not playing. So, you know, I'm not a doctor. Even nobody else is a doctor on this station as of right now. So we don't know. But, you know, I want him to say that.
You know, that actually is a good point, though. Dorrance Armstrong did practice after suffering a rib injury that knocked him out of three quarters of the Ravens game. Now, again, we don't know if it was broken. We don't know if it was sore, swollen, inflamed, cartilage, whatever. But he practiced and then couldn't play. Dan Quinn said he was close. He couldn't play.
Right.
Dante Fowler told me in the locker room the other night, because he's been great the last two games, despite what anybody else wants to say.
No, I'm with you.
He's been great the last two games. He said, you know, I said, what's been the difference between the last two games and the first four games? You know, when you were fine, but not what you've been the last two games. No offense. And he said, well, he's like, you know, I was limited in training camp with a rib injury. Right. And it took me a couple of games to kind of get my footing. So when we think about that, even though every rib injury can be different, and certainly we're not trying to say they're all the same, it just logically would tell you, well, wait a second. If those guys struggled or those guys were held back, it seems reasonable that with the franchise quarterback that they are going to be extra careful, not just moderately careful, extra careful.
It's common sense. It's the right thing to do. We don't need this game. I mean, we 5-2. We could give him a rest. I wish we could. There's a way you could buy a week, and this would be the perfect week for us to buy a week and let my man rest up. Yeah. But that's not the case. So to me, if he's not 1,000%, I don't want him on that field. All bottom right. line.
Sounds good.
You better throw the ball. So,
yep. Yeah, no, I hear you. Thanks, Lou. Appreciate you. 301-230-0980. We'll keep the calls going for another couple of minutes. Then we'll do a little college football with Brett McMurphy at the bottom of the hour. And then we'll get back to the calls on the other side if you want to hang around right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right. Good to have you with us. Brett McMurphy from the Action Network talking college football. He's got all of his college football 12-team projections all the way through to the national championship, where Virginia Tech might be bowling, Army, Navy, everywhere in between. We will talk to him in just a couple of minutes. So with that being said, we go to our guy Sanchez right here on the Team 980.
Papa
Sanchez.
Bear.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, fellas? First of all, before I get started, Chris, what are you talking about with this Jerry McNichols mess? That's why you do running backs by committee. That's what pissed me off about that Baltimore game. Should have ran the ball. That's your identity. That's what got you there.
Well, no. Wait a second. Why are you mad at me? I said he should have absolutely gotten more than two, but I don't think you give him 16 or 17 is my point.
Hey, you got to go out there and battle test him. Don't him hole around it, right? Mm. But, like, either way, it's got to be – You should have ran the ball, but that's if, ands, and buts, candy, and nuts. We'd have a Merry Christmas. You know, about Jaden, I hear a lot of loser talk out here. It's like the fear. If he can go, he's going to go because you can't count. You're harvesting nuts, right? Like Sheehan says that Eddie Jordan used to say, you got to win every game that's in front of you because you can't hope for December and you got to catch a game. You're going to be like, man, I really wish we had won that game against the Bears back in October. Every game matters or something because you never know. Philadelphia could find a lucky star or something and start winning, or Dallas could actually stop being stupid and actually do stuff. So you got to worry about what's in front of you. I mean, maybe I'm thinking a little different than other people, but, yeah, if he's healthy, let's go. If not, Mariota. But we can't be scared. We got to go in there. Don't tap K just like you did against Baltimore. You go down there and you bust down the daggone door and say, where is the SOB? Let's take them down.
Mm. All right.
I feel you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Always good to hear from you. Matty, you want me to take the break here? And okay, so guys, hang on. Just hang on. We'll get to you as soon as we can. But joining us next, Brett McMurphy from the Action Network. Little look at college football as we kind of reach the midway point of the college gridiron season. Right here on a gridiron. Don't let anybody tell you that this is Old Man Radio, that this is AARP Tuesday.
Who would say that?
Got a couple of spring chickens in here.
Yeah.
The DOC.
You gonna listen to an infant?
And the whole rooster. First, a trending alert right here, right
crappy
now.
Crappy diaper.
All right. right, so Monday Night Football last night, it was a disaster in almost every way for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Despite taking a 10-0 lead to start the game, they blew it. They got ultimately a one-sided defeat at the hands of Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and the Baltimore Ravens. They also lost Mike Evans kind of early-ish in the game to another hamstring injury, which he had previously had. And then late in the game, inside of a minute, Chris Godwin, their other star receiver, was hurt. Dislocated ankle was the initial report. He's expected to miss the rest of the year as the Bucs head towards the Atlanta Falcons, and certainly going to be shorthanded at the very least and probably decimated when they arrive. Another wide receiver in some trouble, but this time of his own, Jameson Williams of the Detroit Lions, facing a 2-game reported suspension for violation of the NFL's performance-enhancing substance policy. 23 years old, he was already suspended once earlier in his career for a gambling violation, and of course arrived in Detroit a couple of years ago injured after suffering an ACL. And from baseball, while the World Series does not begin until Friday night, Doc's Dodgers and the New York Yankees, Major League Baseball hoping to find a temporary home for the Tampa Bay Rays for the start of the upcoming season if damage to Tropicana Field from the hurricane 2 weeks ago cannot be repaired in time, and that is the expectation. They do not want to apparently put the Rays in another locale in another city. And that's what's trending. All right, we'll get back to your calls in a little bit. Hang tight, Commanders fans. We'll talk about Jaden Daniels and more. As we've been mentioning, time to talk a little college football. Season about halfway through, maybe a little bit more. And on it and covering it like a glove, as he's done for a long time, is Brett McMurphy. You can follow him on Twitter or on X at @Brett_McMurphy. He is applying his trade and expertise for the Action Network. You can follow them at Action Network HQ. Again, on X, and we just tweeted out his college football playoff grid, which of course expands to 12 games this year. Brett, great to have you on. Rick Doc Walker of UCLA fame, and I'm just merely Chris Russell. How are you? Thanks for doing this.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. Good.
Yeah, appreciate you. Yeah, appreciate you coming aboard with us. So, I mean, before we get a little local spin, because there is some interesting things with Virginia Tech and Maryland and so on and so forth for us here in the D.C. area, I was curious when you unveiled your 12-team bracket, two things jumped out at me. Number one, you've got Army. And they've been a great story, undefeated. They are rich. I mean, I watch them every week. They are just pummeling people. You've got Army making it, which I presume means that you have Army over Navy in the upcoming Army-Navy game here in Landover. And then on top of that, you had a rematch between Saturday night's matchup in Austin in the quarterfinal round, Georgia-Texas. Take me through, I guess, those decisions in terms of how you played with things in the bracket.
Yeah, well, these are my projections, so it's kind of how I'm seeing the year play out. And it's different than I also vote in the AP top 25 poll. So it's the top 25 ballot is the teams how I think they are up to this point. So the projections is kind of based on how I think it's going to end up. And I just, with Army, I don't know if it's, I'll be honest, I don't know if I really think that, or it's just more hopeful that I would love to see Army and or Navy get into the playoff. Both Army and Navy play Notre Dame. Obviously, Notre Dame and Navy is this week, Army a couple of weeks. Most everybody else probably has Boise State is the group five representative. That makes sense. But I just think Boise State's still susceptible to another loss. They play UNLV this week. They still have Oregon State. They would have to probably win a rematch against UNLV in the Mountain West title game. So I think they could possibly lose a game there. And if they do, I think that opens the door for Army so they can get in there. You're right. They've pummeled everybody they played, but their strength of schedule, isn't the greatest either. But so that's why I've got them in there. And as far as is Texas and Georgia in a rematch, look, I think – again, it's going to depend on who wins the conference championships in the Big Ten and the SEC. I think you'll see Georgia and Texas play two, maybe three times this year. I think you'll see Ohio State play two. Excuse me, Ohio State and Oregon play two,
mm-hmm.
maybe three times this year. And I think what's going to be fascinating, and it's going to – you can tell people and tell people and tell people, but they – unless they're just really dug into college football, they're not going to realize it until they see the actual brackets. But when the bracket comes out, they're going to flip out when they see the Big 12 champ and the ACC champ or the third and fourth seeds when their actual ranking may be, you know, 6 or 14.
Right, right.
But because they are a conference champ. And so, you know, that's why I think you'll see these rematches in the Big 10 and SEC, because basically the runner-up or second-best team in those two leagues are going to be, you know, probably top five, at worst top six, top seven. And so, you know, it's funny. They will play the first-round games, and then whoever doesn't win the Big Ten or SEC will then play the Big 12 or ACC champ in the quarterfinals, and they'll actually be the lower seeded, the worst seeded team, yet they could be over a touchdown favorite against the so-called higher seeds from the Big 12 or ACC. And that's I think that'll really catch a lot of people off guard, but that's why I think we'll see some rematches in those conferences. I love we went to 12 teams. I think it adds so much to the college football season. You know, we're sitting here talking about Army potentially getting in the playoff. I think there's two dozen teams right now that legitimately can get to the playoff. But that's the good news. The bad news is it's going to be the same four at the end of the year when it's all said and done. So it's the same usual suspects, but, you know, more people invited to the party at least.
Yeah, no doubt.
I love it. I didn't see the Hoosiers in there, and yeah. You believe in Penn State, and they need a breakthrough. They're getting some things done, but I got to see it to believe it because I've never seen it. I mean, to where they win the big game that they're supposed to win, and based on your work, you say that's going to happen this year.
Yeah, and hey, you know what's funny is I was at Big Ten Media Day in Indianapolis, and the coaches get 15 minutes on the main stage to do, you know, an opening monologue and then some Q&As. James Franklin in 15 minutes referenced three different times that usually when you win 11 games, it's a successful season, but not at Penn State.
Mm.
Why did he keep saying that? Because exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't won the big one. They're winning double-digit victories every year, but they're not getting the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
I think this changes this year. I think they'll lose to Ohio State, although the way this year is gone, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Ohio State. I think that's the only game they're probably going to lose. So at 11-1, they should get in a large bid. And as far as Indiana, just an incredible season. I know they just seal-clubbed Nebraska.
Yeah.
They
still have to go at Michigan State, at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I think they may get dinged by two losses. And with that strength of schedule, I don't know if 10-2 Indiana gets an at-large bid. But again, we're talking about, again, here's a school we haven't talked about in forever.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of upside-down world is this? Forget about Stranger Things. It's college athletics. Indiana is ranked higher than Alabama in football, and Alabama is ranked higher than Indiana in basketball. So,
yeah. How about that?
Up is down, that's down is stuff. Up.
Well, yeah. And that's true because not only, I mean, Doc asked you about Indiana, and Cignetti's doing a great job, and of course, people around here are familiar from what he did at JMU before taking the Indiana job, but you don't have Notre Dame in your Final 12, and of course, because Alabama lost on the road at Tennessee the other day, you don't have Alabama making the college. So no Indiana, no Notre Dame, no Alabama, unless I'm missing it, and I don't think I am, right?
Nope. Yeah, I think Notre Dame loses again. I don't know where. I don't know if the military academies are going to get them. You know, the game at USC, I know USC's, you know, in a tailspin right now, mm-hmm. but I think in that finale, I think this will be a Super Bowl-like game for Lincoln Riley to quiet his critics. Notre Dame has not played the toughest schedule to date so far. I think, you know, 10-2 with that strength of schedule is not going to match up well with some of these teams from the SEC and the Big Ten. So that's why I don't have them in there. Alabama, I think they've got at least another loss in them. And, you know, I mean, they're fortunate they didn't lose to South Carolina. They did lose to Tennessee. I mean, the game against Missouri, who knows? At LSU is not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. In the Iron Bowl, anything can happen to that. Yep. So, yeah, I don't have Alabama in there either, which
Alabama might have two more losses in that, Brett. I mean, when you were just going down this game, they might have two more losses.
I mean, realistically, and this is college football overall. I love that, and, you know, you can have your opinion about the transfer portal, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever. Bottom line is, it's turned literally overnight college football into the NFL, where everybody is basically a 500 team.
Yeah.
You know, in perspective. But you're right. Alabama's final games, except for FCS Mercer, is Missouri, at LSU, at Oklahoma, Auburn. They can win all four of those. They can lose all four of those. And that's what's made this year so incredibly exciting. When a couple weeks ago, I think we saw five of the top 11 lose. A couple weeks ago, we saw two of the top 10 lose. So it's like it's different because now there's more of these quality games against ranked teams. You may win that game, but then the following week, when you're supposedly going to be able to catch your breath, then you're going to get knocked off. So. Yeah, I think it's great, and opens it up to a lot more fan bases.
Brett McMurphy from the Action Network joining us. Again, you can follow him on X at Brett_McMurphy, Action Network at Action Network HQ. Check out actionnetwork.com, the latest bowl projections for not only the 12-team playoff field, but also the other bowls, too. And Brett, I wanted to ask you just before I kind of, you know, forget – you know, I mean, obviously Virginia Tech had a big win. I have had a couple of big wins here, but a big win against Boston College. They hung on for dear life, and obviously the final score was a little bit more one-sided than maybe it was for a little period of time. But Tootin has just been unbelievable all year, but he was great in that game. I know he just won some sort of an award. Maybe this isn't your territory, but is he – I mean, I know he is the fabric, the glue of Virginia Tech right now and what makes them go. But moving forward, how do you kind of view him? Is he just a good college player? Is he a big-time back? How do you kind of look at Tootin?
Yeah, no, he's definitely a big-time back. And, yeah, he was – today he was named Walter Camp National Offensive Player of the Week. And you know, there's a ton of awards out there, but Walter Camp is the most prestigious honor. So that's obviously huge for him. No, I think he's a big-time back. And, I guess either good news, bad news, however you want to look at it. In my preseason projections, I had Virginia Tech going to the playoff.
Mm-hmm. You weren't the only one, right? McAfee, I think, also had it, and somebody else from ESPN had it as well.
Yeah. I just, you know, things obviously didn't start out the way the Hokies had hoped. But no, I think they're vastly talented. He's obviously a stud. The key, I think, for them is play at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They could have, should have beat Miami. And if they beat Miami, they don't lose at Rutgers. Even with the Vandy loss, they still have a chance to get to the playoff. Obviously now, I'd say those hopes are pretty much done. You'd need, you know, so much chaos around the country. But, yeah, no, it's that was an impressive win against Boston College. I mean, they jumped on them early, and you're right, the final score was a little deceiving.
How long before the University of Southern California offers Nick Saban $30 million?
They already have. What do you mean?
No, oh, yeah. Kidding. They already have. Seriously, there's no way on earth that they will stand for what's going on at this point. I don't know how they can afford to do it, to allow this to continue.
Well, the thing is, the longer Saban's out of coaching, the more impressed you are by what he did. And I thought this when he was at Alabama. I thought It sounds weird to say this. I don't think he got enough appreciation for what he accomplished at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And that may sound weird, but basically they were ranked number one every year for a dozen years or so. They made, 8 or 9 of the 10 playoffs. And he did it every single year. Mm-hmm. And you just took for granted that, okay, Alabama's in the playoff. Who are the other three teams going to be? And you didn't really appreciate it. Now, obviously, Alabama fans are appreciating it a lot more. But, unfortunately for those fan bases that want to try to get Saban, I think he's pretty content on what he's doing. But, yeah, he would that would definitely be a huge boost if they could get him.
I wanted to tie in my final question to that. And, by the way, check out, again, Brett's latest, actionnetwork.com, including who he's got here in our local bowl, the Military Bowl in Annapolis, and what two teams he projects. I don't want to give it away, so people can go check that out. If you're certainly looking for some intrigue, I think you'll find it, including where he also has Virginia Tech playing in a college football bowl game. But you mentioned – Doc asked you about Saban. We see him on College Game Day. We saw Tony Bennett. I know this is kind of, college basketball, different sport, different everything, but we saw Tony Bennett surprisingly retire at Virginia. We've seen other legends kind of say, nope, I'm good. You mentioned earlier, this is what's great about college football, the 12-team playoff, all the different things that come with the transfer portal and NIL and all that. Do you think we are at a point where we are just going to see, legends, greats, even more, and I don't know how many more we have, Brett, just walk away going, I don't want to deal with this, or go to the NFL because somehow, some way, it's become easier to deal with the NFL than it is college football?
Yeah, I do think we'll see that. And there's a couple of guys, Mack Brown, obviously, he's near the end of his career, and that's his decision. When he decides he's going to step down, he'll step down, whether it's this year, next year, 5 years from now. I think you'll see Kyle Whittingham of Utah. They've already named a coach in waiting mm-hmm. for him. Total speculation, not reporting this as news, but I would not be surprised if this is his final year. It takes its toll. And I mentioned Mac. I had talked to him a couple of years ago about, are you sad to see that college athletics has become professional with the NIL, with the, all these lawsuits, the pain of the players, all these different things and so forth and so on. And he goes, Brett, the college athletics is not like professional.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Mac, what are you talking about?
It is, goes, yeah.
Brett, he goes, professional leagues have rules. We don't have any rules.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Mm.
And obviously there are, quote, rules, but, nobody's enforcing them. Nobody knows mm-hmm. what they are. And, yeah, I think that takes a toll on a lot of these guys. I think that's why Chip Kelly left UCLA to become an offensive coordinator. He didn't want to deal with all the day-to-day BS with, taking care of NILs with different players and,
mm-hmm.
Doing all that sort of stuff. He just wanted to coach football. He wanted to be an offensive coach. He obviously – him and Ryan Day go way, way back to when Day played at New Hampshire mm-hmm. and Chip Kelly was his offensive coordinator. So, I think you'll see that with a lot of coaches. Kingsbury obviously went to the pros.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that think, Lincoln Riley may eventually end up in the pros. Ryan Day potentially end up in the pros. It's a much better quality of life. And things are definitely changing. But I agree with you. I think some of these, guys that have been around longer, maybe we'll hang it up a little bit earlier than we would have envisioned 5 or 10 years ago because of the uncertainty of what all is going on currently in college athletics.
Gosh, Brett, last thing, and I promise, I know we've kept you too long, but real quickly, if you don't mind, is Norvell in any trouble at FSU, being that it's been such a bad year, but they've got a huge buyout? I mean, do you think he's staying, or do you think he's in some trouble there?
No, they can't get rid. I mean, he was. I don't mean to laugh, but they were 13-1 last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And so are you just going to dismiss what happened last year?
No, I agree.
He's there. But the main thing is the money's crazy. How much money they would owe him? And then the other thing is, you know, which a lot of fan bases and unfortunately a lot of athletic directors don't realize this until it's too late. Well, let's say, okay, Florida State is going to make a change. Like, okay, so who are you going to get to come in there? Nick Saban's not walking through the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to try to bring Deion back to his alma mater? I think, you know, I don't think Deion's going to coach much longer after his sons are gone.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
Well, that's who I was, that's who I was, by the way, kind of thinking. Deion's right. Yeah, he's probably going to wind up in the NFL.
I don't think so.
Nope. Deion may just not coach anymore. Mm, I think.
Interesting.
He can't be in charge of the men with money.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, the biggest difference now with the coaching industry is, you know, in the, quote, the old days, 10, 15 years ago or whatever, coaches would go from one job to another to chase money. They would take a bad job, even if it was a bad job, because they would make more money.
Mm-hmm.
The money now is insane. It's very good everywhere else. It's obviously not the same everywhere else. But you can make a comfortable living no matter what school you're at. So now it's a personal choice. And with a lot of these guys that we're talking about, they could stop coaching yesterday, and they've got enough money for them to live on, for their kids to live on. So it's not a money issue. So that's why there's a different mentality, I think, with these coaches, and specifically Deion. Like, you know, unless he wants to go back to Florida State and coach there, I don't think he'd want to go there. I understand the connection. I understand, you know, why that would make sense, but I don't think it's that simple of, well, this would make the most sense. It's a personal choice. If you've made multiple millions of dollars through the years, it's more quality of life. And right now in college athletics, there's not a real great quality of life with everything you got to deal with.
Brett, this was great. Thank you so much.
Brett.
Sorry for keeping you a little bit longer than originally we had planned out, but this was awesome. Glad we bounced around to it all. Great write-up, obviously, on the Action Network. Look forward to, of course, following you throughout the rest of the college football season and everything in between. Thanks so much for doing this.
Hey, anytime. Thanks, guys.
There you go. That is Brett McMurphy, college football insider for the Action Network, at Brett_McMurphy on the X, actionnetwork.com. Doc, that was a good spot.
So strong.
And again, highly encourage people to go check out where he's got Virginia Tech going, Navy, where he's got Virginia going, in terms of the college football bowl projections, if you're into that sort of thing. And I was fascinated by a couple of the teams, even with a 12-team playoff, that he's got out, including Alabama, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And who was the third one that was a little bit? Oh, Indiana that you brought
Indiana.
Up. I didn't even see Indiana, so good pull by you. All right, good spin there by Brett McMurphy. We'll come back, we'll close out the hour, and then we'll get back to more of your calls. Stay tuned right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good spot there with Brett McMurphy. If you love college football, the 12-team playoff, NIL, Saban, local teams, Bashal Tutin, everything in between. We didn't get to Maryland. I apologize. Just so much going on. But, you know, Navy, Army, all of that stuff. Missed any of it, hit the Odyssey Rewind feature or check out the podcast right after the show on the Odyssey app, Team 980. There, just go to the Chris Russell Show or the team980.com. That'll have it all carved up, labeled for you. Good spot with Brett McMurphy as well. DOC, we got to make the turn to 3 o'clock. We don't have enough time to squeeze in a call here so we can get back on time so that we can make another round of calls before we do some other things in cleanup on aisle 3 around the NFL. Let's do that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us.